Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are on to San Francisco 49ers. And here's the question. How's Trey Lance going to play? It's going to define this team and their future here. So excited to see how this unfolds. And it's basically hyper-efficiency around him. So don't fall on your face, and you've got a lot of help. Fall on your face, got no excuses. It's kind of where we're at with this. Some rumors about arm fatigue. I've heard it from source that told me that yes, like there's some reports of arm fatigue. There's reports that, you know, that's all overblown. That's not actually true. It's true. He had arm fatigue last year. And it matches up a bit with some of the preparedness issues, right? So I'm interested to see how that goes, right? I'm really interested in, and listen, there's a big whiff rate amongst quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, right? Top 10 guys, even they whiff and miss. There's a lot of uncertainty in these guys coming in. And this is a case where, you know, this is why we are, why we be really careful, right? Why we are careful. Because the transition can be difficult. And, yeah, he played a limited amount in college, then one game, and then a year off, basically. And then, you know, a full... It comes in and plays last year, and it wasn't particularly good. Like, I'm doing a research project on Watson and some of the quarterbacks that haven't played for like a year, and they largely turn out to be okay. But it was coming from a perspective of like they were really good beforehand and proven to be good beforehand. Lance, like, we have plenty of questions about. I also say that there's the counter argument on Lance was saying, hey, you know, listen, Mahomes sat for a year. This is true, but it was a much different vibe around that. It was a much different level of, hey, we got the guy. Or, you hear some of the stories. It was Andy Reid that prepped him, basically, and was talking for that the final week game there of his rookie season where he came in and started, and everyone was... super excited about him coming out of that experience. Andy Reid, I've since heard him talk, and it was like, yeah, we knew kind of at that moment that we were right. Like, we were moving on. As never seemed to be the case with this team. So I'm open to it happening, and I think that Lance, like, you can't take three firsts and trade him for a quarterback and not play him. However, there is enough around here to say, is this thing going right? And so we'll see there how that goes. I just think it warrants monitoring. Garoppolo is still under contract, of course, rehabbing that shoulder. I wonder if he stays put, you know, at a reduced number. There's not a ton of spots that are, you know, better for him right now. So be curious with that. They lost Raheem Mostert, drafted TDP. They actually added Danny Gray as well in the draft. You know, so and the core is back, right? The core of Kittle and Debo and Ayuk, right? And Elijah Mitchell, they're all back. And you had TDP in there with Sermon. Like, it's a pretty good core with a good play caller. So we'll see how this goes. There isn't a ton of excuses for Lance, and hopefully his legs can keep him afloat. They were 20th last year in plays per game, 32nd in dropbacks per game. They were 20th in terms of design rush attempts per game at 22.5, 24th in design pass rate. They were 6th in pacing. So they actually played at a pretty good pace overall. Despite playing, you know, at a bit of a lower volume. So we'll see how that goes. I'll be interested to see how the how some of the splits there on design runs, right, with Lance. You know, what the drop back number is, about 34 per game last year. I'd be interested to see sort of how that number looks through the first month, right? And so that'll be the big thing to see how it goes. But I do like the playing fast thing. Like that is kind of a good thing. The other thing that's a good efficiency, by the way, is 10 to 19 yards. I think that's a good place to get some damage done first in terms of percentage of attempts there. That's a highly efficient place to throw the football, and they threw it there a lot. So some good stuff there. And, you know, Shanahan's thought to be a pretty good play caller. Like there's some stuff here that shows up for that. 8.6 yards per attempt, again, really high. Again, with Jimmy Garoppolo, it's you wouldn't, like, he's not the great quarterback, right? He needs stuff schemed up for him as well. So the fact that he's able to get to that level, I think, is a compliment to Kyle Shanahan. 5.1% touchdown rate, 13th overall at the position. Here's where stuff gets funky. 31st in terms of running back routes per drop back, 31st in running back targets per drop back. So right at the bottom of the league in terms of using their running backs in the passing game. That's a upside capping situation. We'll get to that in a minute. 26th in terms of wide receiver routes per drop back, 15th in terms of targets per drop back. Again, they have good efficiency amongst their wide receivers, so that's a helping thing. 26th in terms of tight end drop routes per drop back, but they rank 12th in targets per drop back because Kittle's a monster, but does block too. So red zone stuff, they were 25th in red zone volume on only 122 plays, 19th in red zone rush rate at 48.4%, and they ranked 31st in terms of red zone rush rate for their running backs. Again, in an offense where you've got Deebo Samuel, where you have Trey Lance, this is a troubling kind of swimming upstream situation for their running backs, even though we think of the Shanahan offense as being good for running backs. Case in point, 25th in expected points at 22.6 a game. Not a great situation there, right? And as good as Shanahan is, 22nd in terms of wide receiver expected points per game and 19th in terms of tight end expected points per game. So we laud this situation. However, we need to, you know, we need to sort of temper our expectations for it would be what I would say. Kittle's a monster as a big takeaway from the skill players here. 0.5 points per route run in his career. That's 97th percentile. 2.49 yards per route run in his career, 100th percentile. 25% of his routes he's been targeted on in his career, that's 100th percentile. Right there as well with like the highest ranking of PFF receiving grades. So he's just a monster. Elijah Mitchell, expected points per game, 16th. Points per game, actually 18th. He slightly overperformed. Well, not slightly. I mean, he was a good chunk over expected yards per route run. He had expected yards per route run of 0.79. He went at 0.91. Again, like the situation not that great, and he overperforms it, but again, that's not that high of a floor or a ceiling situation. So troubling there. Only 41st in terms of routes per game at 13.7. Really swimming upstream in terms of this offense. Deebo Samuel's the big one. I would just say that he was an elite pass catcher last year. And there's some ways you could pick at him a little bit in terms of some of the pass catching stuff. I'm not going to do that. You know, there's some drop rate stuff in there. He's 99th in terms of yards per route run, 99th percentile in terms of yards per route run last year. This is what he's done. He's been a really high efficiency wide receiver throughout his career. So last year was a big breakout, and probably something that in hindsight, like, it's something I'm looking for more and more, is these guys that have, you know, these really high end efficiency profiles, but just need bigger volume. He's definitely one that I'm looking more for his archetype going forward. Again, he was 91st in terms of expected yards per route run as well, 2.07. So smashing, right? Almost 9/10 of a yard, more than 9/10 of a yard better per route run than expectation. That's just an enormous, enormous accomplishment. 20.2% of the target share as well. Points per game was ranked third. He's looking for a contract. So we'll see there. You know, there's some thought that he doesn't want to do as much in the running game, and that could potentially be kind of the hang up contractually for him. I would just say that that stuff in terms of, like, is the running game going to keep him? Is the running game going to hold him back, points wise and everything? Like, he was still like a top five wide receiver before they really turned the ball over to him and started running with him last year. So I still think he's fine from a receiving perspective. Ayuk's another one. Expected points per game, 61st. He was up at wide receiver 48 in terms of actual points per game. You know, and actually, when you look at it, it's interesting. His route participation is actually higher than Deebo Samuel's, but the problem is, like, his just expectations lower. He's only targeted on 17% of his routes. By way of reference, Juwan Jennings was targeted more frequently. Again, not as big of a volume, but you get the idea. So good, but I think an over expectation in terms of yards per route run, but just a little bit more limited of a profile. You know, he's about the median in terms of the targets that he gets on a route run basis. So is he good? Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good player. Is he a big time difference maker? I'm not sure in this offense how he's going to be. So I'd be looking to pivot up from him if I could, or even maybe across positions. So that's really the big takeaways there for this team. We'll look here quick at your valuations in terms of the market stuff. So Lance is at quarterback 10. By way of reference, that is ahead of Trevor Lawrence, is ahead of Matthew Stafford, ahead of Justin Fields, ahead of Deshaun Watson. I'm good. Like, y'all can take him at that cost. I am not going to be making that bet. So that's just not a bet that I'm willing to make or anything like that, right? He is a pivot player. And honestly, all the rumors and stuff, it doesn't even matter to me. That's all AOD type study stuff. So yeah, great. He's got a underdog ADP of quarterback 9. That's awesome. I am not making that bet. Top 20 asset, not a chance I'm making that bet with Trey Lance. So that's the deal there with him. And then you look Elijah Mitchell. He is at running back 24 at 802. He's 23 in terms of his positional ranks, really kind of held back there. Again, I think maybe people are coming on to this thing about how, about how Shanahan might not be necessarily the best for running backs as we sort of were thinking about in prior iterations there. When you go down the position in terms of other guys here, Ty Davis Price is at running back 48. It matches his underdog ranking, again, backup situation. Trey Sermon is at running back 65 in RDP. He's 71 in terms of his underdog stuff. Looking here over at Deebo and Ayuk, Deebo really high up at the position in terms of wide receiver 8 in terms of his underdog draft position. Ayuk 42. So again, that Ayuk situation really kind of blends in and is part of the reason why, you know, him going at wide receiver 40, like, it's not that expensive, but it's probably a him going down type situation, right? If you don't hit through 3 years, like, the rate of you doing so is pretty low, and that's kind of where he's at. Deebo, tight end or wide receiver 6 in RDP, 8 in terms of projection. So interesting negative split there for him. Kittle, 402 in super flex drafts. He's at tight end 4 and tight end 5 in terms of his underdog ranking there. So I think the big takeaways here is like this offense might actually support a guy like Trey Lance maybe more than it necessarily supports like the individual players in it. Again, if some of the Kittle volume stuff, like if Kittle ever got the volume, like he'd be, could have the best tight end season ever. You know, Debo's good. In fact, really good, but there's not a ton there for anyone else really. And again, you're not involving the running back position that much in the passing game. Like it's a kind of a ceiling capping situation. So, again, I like TDP. I did like Sermon, but I am sort of open to the idea of TDP maybe being a little bit more flip type guy than he is necessarily long-term building asset. If you are get into a situation where he becomes your starter, or he becomes, you know, he's playing, whether it's via an Elijah Mitchell injury or he actually takes a job from Mitchell. So just for what that's worth, I think I'm pivoting more towards him being a flip guy than he is necessarily a long-term foundational piece. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.